He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Father in heaven, we thank you today and lift up your holy name, Father, for another day, dear God, that you have shown forth your love, your kindness, and your tender mercies towards us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, for life, health, and strength. Thank you, dear Lord God, for the very things that we oftentimes take for granted. Oh God, sometimes we don't think about, Lord God, how you have been so compassionate towards us. We don't think about, Lord God, the ways that you made for us. Sometimes, Lord God, we don't think about praising you, Lord God, when we should praise you. But Lord God, this is a day, Lord God, of thanksgiving. And this is a day of praise. This is a day, Lord God, to reflect on the goodness of the Lord. And Father, as we come before you on today, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you would forgive us this day of all of our sins and all of our trespasses against you. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, of the errors of our ways. Forgive us, Lord God, of everything that we have done to offend you, whether it be in word, action, deed, conduct, or behavior. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, as we come before you, Lord God, with uplifted hands and our heads bowed down, Lord God, that you would look on us on today. For Lord God, we are in need of help. And I know, Lord God, if you can help us, dear God, there's no help for us. Oh, Lord God, my prayer is, Lord God, that you will strengthen your people everywhere. Lord God, remember those, oh God, hallelujah, in Turkey and in Syria. Lord God, our hearts are heavy right now upon the news, Lord God, coming from that region. It's unimaginable, Lord God, what they're going through. And Lord God, the only one, Lord God, that can help them, Lord God, to make it is you. The only one, Lord God, that work a miracle for them is you, Lord. And my prayer is, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would help them even now. Wow, Lord God, their hearts are heavy and while they're in despair. I pray, Lord God, for all the families, Lord God, that lost their loved ones, Lord God, as a result of the earthquake. Lord God, this is a hard thing, Lord God. Oh God, I've seen the tears of the people. Lord God, I felt, Lord God, when they cried out, Lord God, at the news, Lord God, that their whole families were gone. Father, I pray that you would strengthen them right now, Lord God, and help them to heal. And Father, Lord God, if there's any sign of life, Lord God, under those bricks and all that rubble, dear God, let them be found, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, that you would move in a mighty way, Father, because even in the midst of all that we see, Lord God, you're still working miracles. Lord God, people are coming out alive. Lord God, babies are coming out alive, Lord God. Lord God, I see people rejoicing, Lord God, at the sign of life. Hey God, I pray. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would heal, Lord God, their land, heal their broken hearts, lift up their brow, bow down head. And Lord God, I pray that this would not be a time, Lord God, to politicize, Lord God, what's happening. People are hungry. People are cold. Lord God, people have nowhere to live. Lord God, they're dying, Lord God. And I pray, dear Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that the aid would reach them. Lord God, that the food would reach them. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that the warm coast, Lord God, would reach them. Lord God, that there would be some help for them. And Lord God, touch those in surrounding nations. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you come against the spirit of meanness. Oh, Lord God, and selfishness and hatred, Lord God. And let it not be about, oh God, what they disagree upon, Lord God, as it is, Lord God, showing brotherly love and compassion. And dear Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father in heaven, that you would move, hallelujah, in a mighty way. Lord God, deliver, dear Lord God, as only you can. Lord God, you are the need meter. And I know, dear Lord God, that there is nothing, Lord God, that's too hard for you, Lord God. And dear Lord God, as we come before you in the word, I pray, Lord God, that you would have your way, oh God, on this day. Hallelujah. I pray that you would say what you want to say. Oh Lord God, encourage your people. Oh Lord God, those who are listening. Dear Lord God, this is a time of trouble, but we know that we have a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we bless your holy name on today. And Lord God, we're just thanking you, Lord God, for the life that you have given us. And sometimes, Lord God, we just can be some ungrateful people and find every reason to complain. But Lord God, when we look around and see, Lord God, what other people are going through, those of us that have a roof over our head, a bed to lay our head upon, our refrigerators are full. We have enough clothes in our closet to wear and shoes, some of which still have price tags on it. And we still complain. But Lord God, we have everything that we need and more. My God, and I just thank you, Lord God, on today, Lord God, from my heart. Heavenly Father, Lord God, and just say, forgive me, Father, for every time I opened up my mouth and complained, Lord God, because you have shown us, Lord God, this week that there are people that's going through far worse and people, Lord God, that's worse off than we are. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I just give your name the praise on today, and my heart truly goes out to Turkey and Syria. And also the Ukrainian people and all those who are suffering at the hands of wicked and cruel men, and some of which are natural disasters and, you know, some things that are just beyond our control, Lord God. But I know that you can fix it somehow. And Lord God, we just look to you, Lord God, on today as a source and resource of everything that we need. And we say thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. I greet you in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And today, amen, we will be found in the book of Exodus, amen, chapter 10, verse 7. And I will begin to read in your hearing. And the word of the Lord reads, "And Pharaoh's servant said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? The subject matter on today comes in the form of a question. When are you going to get it? Amen. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 7, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was addressed by his attendants, ministers of the state, or counselors who were in his inner circle to persuade him to come to some terms with God's servant Moses. Moses was sent to Pharaoh with a message from God commanding him to let his people go. But each time Pharaoh's heart was hardened. At that time, Egypt was in deplorable conditions because he would not adhere to God's command. So the questions from his counselors was, "Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" In other words, "Can you not see that the nation is in ruin? How much more do you think we can take? When are you going to get it?" In understanding how Egypt had reached this state, we learn in the book of Exodus chapter 1 of the Egyptian bondage of the descendants of Abraham. Joseph, the son of Jacob, by divine providence became a great man in Egypt, second in command next to the king. Although the circumstances surrounding how he got there came as a result of heartbreaking circumstances, Joseph came to terms with the fact that what his enemies intended for evil, God meant it for good, to save many people alive during a grievous famine. He had the respect of Pharaoh and the Egyptian people in his day. But after Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation, the scripture says, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we." Just as any person operating in a way that a dictator would, the king of Egypt methodically subjugated the children of Israel. They oppressed and enslaved them and set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. This wicked king ordered the murdering of the Hebrew male babies, an act of genocide, in order to control the growth and population of the Hebrew nation. The Bible says, "And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve with rigor." Metaphorically, the Hebrews were in a furnace of affliction. But God heard their cry, and he raised up Moses, a divinely chosen deliverer, which in typology he was a type of Christ. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, the Lord first reveals himself to Moses, saying, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." In verse 7, it reads, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their sorrows." He says at the beginning of verse 8, "And I am come down to deliver them." God was letting Moses know that he took notice of the affliction of his people. And there were three things that he took notice of. Number one, their sorrow and their tears, giving us to know that even the secret sorrows of God's people are known unto him. Number two, their cry. He said, I have heard their cry. It has come unto my ears. It has come up unto me. Giving us to know that God is not deaf to the cries of the of his afflicted people. And number three, the Lord took notice of the tyranny of their persecutors. He said, I have seen the oppression. Giving us to know that he not only takes notice of the oppressed, but also the tyrants in the land who are the source of oppression and misery. They are not above being checked, and they will be held accountable in the highest court of all for the things that they do. Having said this, the same God who takes notice of the pain and suffering and brutality against people who are oppressed at the hands of tyrannical regimes today, amen, praise God, he is also, amen, paying attention, amen, to his people. Amen, there's none at all, amen, that God, amen, does not take notice of. Amen, look at what's going on in northwestern Syria. Look at what's going on in Yemen, where there are more than 17.8 million people on record, including 9.2 million children that lack basic necessities, impoverished, and ridden with the spread of disease. Look at what's happening to the Tigrayan people in Ethiopia, who are being ethnically cleansed because they are not recognized as a people. Their citizens are being massacred. Women suffer sexual violence, forced into sexual slavery, forced to have forced pregnancies, and left in a state of shame. Their spirits are broken, and they are holding on with what little strength that they have and hanging on to the hope that help will come. And one day they will be able to live in peace without cruelty. People of God, sometimes it's hard to wrap your head around what makes other people tick. How governments brutalize their own people by using starvation as a weapon. How they deem it plausible to withhold humanitarian aid as a means of punishment because of a disagreement. So their position is, we're just going to fold our arms and watch the opposition die. They watch babies being born in misery, and let them die in misery. And sadly, it is always the children that suffer the most, while their mothers have to just look on them and see their children in agony with no means of bringing them any comfort. In some nations, leaders care less about showing brotherly love and more about fighting to stay in power. If they would only consider why the citizens of their countries oppose them, they would understand that people typically rebel when they are oppressed already. And when people are unsatisfied with how their leaders are governing and unsatisfied with the mistreatment that they're getting, it is only a matter of time before it comes to a head. But instead of hearing out the people, or meeting them halfway, or taking a look within themselves to see how they can make things better for the sake of living in peace and harmony. Some leaders take the tyrannical approach that is my way or no way. Look at how many people who are suffering because they wanted their voices to be heard. They are left abandoned, living in unimaginable conditions. Some of them were slaughtered and slain, and some are left wondering if there is anybody anywhere that even care about their existence. And even now, there are voices crying out for help, and seemingly their cries is unheard. But the message on this day comes to shed light that God is cognizant of everything that takes place in this earth. Solomon said, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." He says in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." I would have you to know that the Lord hears your cry. It has reached his ears. He has seen your affliction, and he will respond. You may not have cried visible tears, but your inner man has been crying out, and he is not deaf nor ignorant regarding what you have been going through. Justice is getting ready to stand up. The Lord have established his case against the wicked and the workers of iniquity. And when they fall, there will be no question as to why they fell. It had been 400 years that the Israelites suffered at the hands of their taskmaster. It may have been a long time coming, but the Lord says, "I am come down to deliver them." The Lord took matters into his own hands. And when you hear the Lord say, "I'll do it," the only thing you are required to do is to back up and let him work. Because heaven is getting ready to fight for you. Hey, come on, my Shanda. Hey, God, hallelujah. At the last, Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." I pray that there is someone who is listening that is under attack, hated without a cause, oppressed and persecuted by those who despise your existence. It is important for you to know that heaven will fight for you. You might be down in your spirit, but salvation and deliverance will come. The Lord is taking matters into his own hands. You will not need a missile defense system or heavy artillery. The Lord will fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. God is a righteous judge. And sometimes people fail to realize that at the end of the day, divine justice will prevail, no matter how long it takes. Amen. The Lord let Moses know that he was chosen to bring forth his people out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. I am that I am is a name that denotes what he is within himself. He is self-existent. He is the all-sufficient one. He has no dependency upon any other. The Lord also revealed to Moses that he would harden Pharaoh's heart, that he would not let the people go. And this was for a common purpose, which was to prove to Pharaoh and the Israelites that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is God. And beside him, there is none else. It was to show that he is the God of miracles, signs, and wonders comparable to no other. And every time Pharaoh's heart hardened, or God hardened his heart, God sent a plague in the land. The rivers were turned into blood, and all the fish died and made the water stink. He sent an overwhelming number of frogs that covered the land of Egypt. He sent lice, which covered man and beast. He sent swarms of flies that were everywhere. He sent a grievous murrain, and all the cattle of Egypt died. There was an outbreak of boils that was upon man and beast. He sent hail mingled with fire that smote both man and beast, destroyed all their vegetation, and broke every tree of the field. And then he sent the locusts to finish off what the hail mingled with fire didn't destroy. And they covered the face of the earth to a point where the Egyptians could not even see the ground. So at this point, Pharaoh's servants was at their wits' end, which provoked them to ask the king, Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? We are no match when it comes to the God of heaven. When are you going to get it? And just like Pharaoh, we are living in a day and time when many hearts are hardened or have become hardened against God. We have seen disaster after disaster, went through a grievous plague, and I suspect that we're not finished yet. Our resources are drying up. The angel of death is walking through the land. We're dealing with war and famine and earthquakes, all kinds of natural disasters. But instead of people turning their hearts towards God, some of them just remain unfazed. There are some people who are more concerned about the weather than they are about the signs of the time. And as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 verse 3, he said, Ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? We see more than ever that Jesus is soon to come. And we must prepare for the coming of the Lord. For some, it is not a priority. It's all about the entertainment, the Grammys, the Oscars, who's going to win the Super Bowl, where's the next party, who am I going to hook up with? Amen. Post-pandemic for some people meant returning back to the same vices. When the Lord spared your life, and he deserves all the praise and all the glory. But as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. When are you going to get it? It is praying time. And now is not the time, amen, to play. It's time to pray. It is time to turn or return to the Lord. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Can you not see the destruction? Can you not see that the earth is decaying? Can you not see that the time is at hand? And I want to say to the unrepentant sinners, it's time to turn to God and make Jesus your Savior. Because if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Save yourself from this wicked and untoward generation. Praise God. In conclusion, do not ignore the sense of urgency to get closer to the eternal God. We don't know what tomorrow holds for any of us, but we do have hope. Why? Because Jesus gave us hope for a better future. Let us continue to direct our prayers towards people who are going through so much right now. Amen. You might be in your homes, untouched by what's going on in other countries, but we don't know what's coming our way. So we have to be prayed up, y'all. Pray for Syria. Pray for Turkey. Pray for the Ukrainian people. Pray for Haiti. Pray for Tigray. Pray for Myanmar. Pray for Afghanistan. Pray for Yemen. Pray for all of South America. And even in your own nation. And you might ask, well, why should I pray for all these nations? The simple answer is because of the souls of men. Everybody is not right, and everybody in these countries are not wrong. Pray without ceasing. And as the scripture says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This is the word of the Lord on this day. Amen. Amen. And amen.